such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. God bless you for tuning into The Winds of Change. If you're live on a Wednesday, brain-wrinkling Wednesday, or listening in the podcast.
I am the gift.
Gift is a great hour of interesting Catholic world, political, moral, liturgical news that should be front and center in most of our lives, though it's very easy to kick it off to the curb, you know, so many other priorities are in front of our face, you know. That's actually one of the, I think, God's secret plans for having people like me, a priest, not be married and not have to go to a regular job. Regular jobs.
No!
Are pretty time-consuming, and they have a lot of, you got to do a lot of homework just to keep up with your job, right? Which is part of our way of becoming holier. But then you don't always study enough or study the essence of what's going on in the church and theology, philosophy, morality, all those good things. Anyways, that's why you tune into Winds of Change. Is it not? Well, yes, I think it is. So that being said, I can't help but this is being recorded on the Wednesday before the Feast of the Annunciation. The Annunciation, in case you haven't figured that out, is 9 months before December 25th. We all know what December 25th is. That would be Christmas, the Incarnation, the Feast of the Birth of our Lord. So 9 months before that, we celebrate the Feast of the Annunciation, when our Blessed Mother received that news that she would be the Mother of God, the Mother of the Savior. So all sorts of things come into play here. And front and center on most of our plates and most of our minds is the problems in the world vis-a-vis the battle between Russia and Ukraine, though there are other battles going on, my friends. Our minds are fixed on Ukraine and Russia because there's just so much focus on it rather than other battles, Yemen and other places where others are being, where there's other wars being fought are off the radar screen. We still are led in a great many ways by the dominant media culture that tells us what is key and what is important. And this is important and part of the story for us Catholics, and it really shouldn't be just for Catholics, is that there was an apparition of the Blessed Mother back in Fatima to the three children, right? Maria being the oldest one who lived the longest, related the mysteries, the secrets that our Blessed Mother gave to her. And one of those requests of the Blessed Mother was to make five first Saturdays, right? Make it to five first Saturdays with confession regularly. and to consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And so there's been a great many people petitioning Pope Francis to do just that. And this Friday, March 25th, I think it's 5 p.m. Rome time. So if I'm right, they're 6 hours ahead of us. So that would be 11 a.m. If they're 7 hours ahead of us, that'll be 10 a.m. But I think it's 11 a.m., right? Anyways, check your universal clocks for that. But it's definitely 5 p.m. Rome time on the 25th. So like part of the Vespers time, right? And so we really should listen. That we just got a copy of the consecration prayer. It's kind of long. The Pope is definitely trying to preach as not just consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, but preach a sermon. Can't blame him for that. All of us cleric type people do that. I'm afraid though that the words of the consecration may have a little bit of the I'm just gonna say the bite that I think our Blessed Mother was hoping for, in the sense that we'll read it and I'll come back to it. Okay, so and even with some question marks floating around in my mind, it's definitely something to be grateful for and happy that this is going on, that the Pope will do this rather long prayer, including a consecration of all of humanity, and especially Russia and Ukraine. That's a good thing. It's a very good thing. And especially, it'll be very, very interesting to know how all the bishops of the world react and respond, and if they do so. Hopefully, your church, you might be able to do such a prayer together with who's ever the leader, the priest, or something. The prayer, the consecration prayer, Friday. Because the world is a big place and we have all these time zones, right? It's beautiful if it could be done at the same real time, you know, like I say, Chicago time, 11 a.m. But I do believe in the great doctrine of God being outside of time. If you were to do it at a separate time, I do believe God will use those graces abundantly, as it were. So try to do it at 11 a.m. or another time of the day. Let's make sure it is the 25th. That is the Feast of the Annunciation, of course. Here's how the words go. O Mary, Mother of God and our Mother, in this time of trial, we turn to you. As our Mother, you love us and know us. No concern of our hearts is hidden from you. Mother of Mercy, how often we have experienced your watchful care and your peaceful presence. You never cease to guide us to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Yet we have strayed from that path of peace. We have forgotten the lesson learned from the tragedies of the last century, the sacrifice of the millions who fell into world wars. We have disregarded the commitments we made as a community of nations. We have betrayed people's dreams of peace and the hopes of the young. We grew sick with greed. We thought only of our own nations and their interests. We grew indifferent and caught up in our selfish needs and concerns. We chose to ignore God, to be satisfied with our illusions, to grow arrogant and aggressive, to suppress innocent lives, and to stockpile weapons. We stopped being our neighbor's keepers and stewards of our common home. We have ravaged the garden of the earth with war, and by our sins we have broken the heart of our Heavenly Father, who desires us to be brothers and sisters. We grew indifferent to everyone and everything except ourselves. Now, with shame, we cry out, "Forgive us, Lord." Holy Mother, amid the miseries of our sinfulness, amid our struggles and weaknesses, amid the mystery of iniquity that is evil and war, you remind us that God never abandons us, but continues to look upon us with love, ever ready to forgive us and raise us up to new life. He has given you to us and made your Immaculate Heart a refuge for the Church and for all humanity. By God's gracious will, you are ever with us, even in the most troubled moments of our history. You are there to guide us with tender love. We now turn to you and knock at the door of your heart. We are your beloved children. In every age, you make yourself known to us, calling us to conversion. At this dark hour, help us and grant us your comfort. Say to us once more, "Am I not here who am your mother?" You are able to untie the knots of our hearts and of our times. In you, we place our trust. We are confident that, especially in moments of trial, you will not be deaf to our supplication and will come to our aid. That is what you did at Cana in Galilee, when you interceded with Jesus and he worked the first of his signs. To preserve the joy of the wedding feast, you said to him, "They have no wine." Now, O Mother, repeat those words and that prayer, for in our own day we have run out of the wine of hope. Joy has fled. Fraternity has faded. We have forgotten our humanity and squandered the gift of peace. We open our hearts to violence and destructiveness. How greatly we need your maternal help. Therefore, O Mother, hear our prayer. Star of the sea, do not let us be shipwrecked in the tempest of wars. Ark of the new covenant, inspire projects and paths of reconciliation. Queen of heaven, restore God's peace to the world. Eliminate hatred and the thirst for revenge, and teach us forgiveness. Free us from war. Protect our world from the menace of nuclear weapons. Queen of the Rosary, make us realize our need to pray and to love. Queen of the human family, show the people the path of fraternity. Queen of peace, obtain peace for our world. O Mother, may your sorrowful plea stir our hardened hearts. May the tears you shed for us make this valley, parched by our hatred, blossom anew. Amid the thunder of weapons, may your prayer turn our thoughts to peace. May your maternal touch soothe those who suffer and flee from the rains of bombs. May your motherly embrace comfort those forced to leave their homes and their native land. May your sorrowful heart move us to compassion and inspire us to open our doors and to care for our brothers and sisters who are injured and cast aside. Holy Mother of God, as you stood beneath the cross, Jesus, seeing the disciple at your side, said, "Behold your Son." In this way, he entrusted each of us to you. To the disciple and to each of us, he said, "Behold your mother."
Wow. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Hey, that is brain wrinkling, no doubt about it. We're getting to the paragraph of the consecration. So took a long, this is a long intro, isn't it? Okay, back to the text. The disciple, you said to the disciple and teacher, behold your mother. Mother Mary, we now desire to welcome you into our lives and our history. At this hour, a weary and distraught humanity stands with you beneath the cross, needing to entrust itself to you and through you, to consecrate itself to Christ. The people of Ukraine and Russia, who venerate you with great love, now turn to you, even as your heart beats with compassion for them and for all those peoples disseminated by war, hunger, injustice, and poverty. Therefore, Mother of God and our Mother, to your Immaculate Heart, we solemnly entrust and consecrate ourselves, the Church, and all humanity, especially Russia and Ukraine. Accept this act that we carry out with confidence and love. Grant that war may end and peace spread throughout the world. The fiat that arose from your heart opened the doors of history to the Prince of Peace. We trust that through your heart peace will dawn once more. To you we consecrate the future of the whole human family, the needs and expectations of every people, the anxieties and hopes of the world. Through your intercession, may God's mercy be poured out on the earth and the gentle rhythm of peace return to mark our days. Our Lady of the Fiat, on whom the Holy Spirit descended, restore among us the harmony that comes from God. May you, our living fountain of hope, water the dryness of our hearts. In your womb, Jesus took flesh. Help us to foster the growth of communion. You once trod the streets of our world. Lead us now on the paths of peace. Amen. Well, certainly a lot of beautiful sentiments. There's certainly a lot of prayers. It's humble, isn't it? It's certainly an admission that we have gone astray, like the scripture says. I'm glad this is happening. I hope it gets a great deal of play. I hope a lot of people do listen to it. It will, I imagine. I hope that will make a lot of people ask questions. You know, many people who listen to Catholic radio are familiar with Fatima, but there's going to be lots of people who don't. And I pray that chapter in our church's history, the importance of that apparition, and especially the importance of the five first Saturdays, right? Our five first Saturday devotions is tied to this consecration as well. Pope Francis didn't mention that in this long prayer. But anyways, there's a couple other thoughts that I want to share with you after a break here. And then it's related to another very interesting situation that is going on in my little church world. I'd like to share that with you when we get back to it. It has to do with a kind of a prayer, a consecration, a promise, as it were, and the right to life movement, our should be undying efforts to bring about a culture of life, right? Anyways, let's take that first break, okay, Nick? I am Father Tom Kois. You are listening to 88.5 FM, WSIFI, 750 AM WNDZ on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland.
Sister Lucia reported that on the night of June 13th, 1929, while she was praying in chapel, that she experienced a vision that the Pope in union with all the bishops of the world, consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart. And so it will be this Friday, on the Feast of the Annunciation, that the Blessed Mother's wish will be fulfilled. St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish invites you to attend Mass this Friday, March 25th, and join with Pope Francis and the bishops of the world to consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart.
I'm Father Tom Coyes, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Tom Coyce here on a brain-wrinkling Wednesday. I just finished reading that long prayer that Pope Francis is going to pray, and I hope it gets coverage throughout the world. I don't anticipate it being. The major media outlets are not so concerned about following a request made by the Blessed Mother back in 1917. But I think it will get some coverage. Wouldn't it be great if it got as much media coverage as the landing on the moon? Do you remember where you were when the landing on the moon happened? That was an exciting moment in human history that united many of the peoples of the world, right? Even though it was American astronauts that stepped foot on there, there was... It all of a sudden became, we were all people of this earth. More so than in different, in war type situations, we could all remember where we were when the jihadist terrorists threw airplanes into the New York City buildings. It's amazing there's so many young people here for that. They don't remember that, as us older folks do. We could remember, some of you might even remember where you were when Pearl Harbor happened. Some of us would remember when John Kennedy was assassinated. I don't think there's too many in the audience that could remember when Abraham Lincoln was shot. But my point is that oftentimes when we say something like, do you remember when this happened? It's oftentimes a very bad thing. But like I say, landing on the moon was a very good thing. And this should be a very good thing, the fact that the Pope is consecrating, he says he's consecrating all of humanity, especially Russia and Ukraine. Now, I know there's going to be some controversy about if that is the way the Blessed Mother wanted it be done. It's the whole prayer and asking and admitting that we are sinners, without really mentioning sins, or specific sins, it has a little of the feeling of like a general penance service, a general absolution service, where I've certainly done them, and I know many of you have been to them or participate in one way or another, where the leader will try to get us in the mood for making a good confession by saying that we are sinners. And it's very easy to agree and nod our heads and say, you know, raise your hands, yes, I'm a sinner. It's much harder to get to some more specific things, like who has been unfaithful to their spouse, or who has stolen at work, or who has double-crossed one of their friends, or, of course, we also have to say, who may have been unfaithful in a relationship and then on top of that had an abortion, right? Those are the specific sins. That's the much harder aspect of being contrite than just a general sense of, yeah, I'm a sinner. And that's where we have to work on, of course, right? And that consecration prayer, I hope it will please God. I hope it please the Blessed Mother. I hope it will inspire Russia to lead the way, as it were, to have a great conversion. There's a couple things that are floating in the back of my mind as I think of that issue in the side today. One is that I just read recently that the president of Poland, a guy by the name of Duda, Andrzej Duda, he's in hot water in the European Union, which is kind of odd because all of Europe is saying, we have to take care of the Ukrainian migrants, those who are fleeing the war-torn area. Poland is front and center. Poland is receiving a great percentage. Not many are going to the other countries of Europe, but there are, of course. Hungary, too, is another one. But Germany and France, Italy, England, many of those are not in the front of welcoming or trying to help the war refugees, as it were. But Poland is in hot water with the European Union because this president, Duda, has tried to hold the Christian ethical line on marriage. So often, marriage is so often at the center of so much controversy. We can try to analyze wars, we can try to analyze financial issues, geographical issues, all that, but if we neglect the issues that are part and parcel of our daily life, and that's why marriage issues are part of the great picture, because we all come from families, and the way we deal with our broken relationships has a trickle-up effect. You've heard of the trickle-down effect, right? When Ronald Reagan would be criticized for lowering taxes on businesses and what have you, they would say they don't believe in the trickle-down effect of money, of the financial markets, of the economy. And Ronald would say, yes, a rising economy, a rising tide lifts all ships. So that's a variation on that theme, we could say, a trickle-up effect of not only good, but also bad, when bad things are happening in the domestic home front that trickles up to bigger societal bad things and even conflicts between people in the same country, which would then be a civil war, or people from different countries. That would be just a regular war between countries. And anyways, the fact that President Duda has said on a number of occasions, our forefathers did not fight off communism, atheistic communism, so that a different kind of atheism can take over. He's specifically accusing the strong LGBTQ community of the European Union, the demand for a new ethic on marriage to recognize same-sex marriage as equal to normal heterosexual marriage. He's saying that that is a kind of form of atheism, and I have to agree. I think he's right on target. So that's the fact that the president of Russia is in trouble with the European Union, and the strange thing about it, on that front, the Russia, and especially the primate, the Greek Orthodox bishop, or archbishop, or it's called called a primate, he would be, he got famously, I guess, put down or for something similar when he said, you know, the battle lines, the testing, the litmus test about whose side you are on, this has to do with whether you will accept or reject a LGBT parade in your town or city. Isn't that an amazing, strange coming together of very different issues from different people, of course, different societies, but a moral principle needs to be discovered when we're talking about what's going on with wars. I have to share, I think I've shared this before with you, but I do enjoy watching war movies. They're always fascinating. But one of my great frustrations about a war movie is that you see all the fighting, you see all the pain, the human destruction, the human interest stories, as it were, and yet you learn nothing about why they were fighting. And to me, that's just a terrible shame. And we should almost be embarrassed to like a war story without learning something about why people fight. If we like war stories just because we find guns and airplanes and weapons fascinating, and our hearts strung, our heartstrings are pulled by the human suffering that entails. I think that's kind of what is behind the recognition. I've recognized this for a long time that women and girls are not as much fans of war movies, war pictures, war stories as guys are. There's something in the female. Well, and I'll call it the female genius, like Pope John Paul II did, right? That is a female genius. There's sort of a, I don't want to be just reminded of the suffering and misery. And so it is. There's a resistance to watch those movies. They're not uplifting, they'll say. And indeed, for me, they're not uplifting unless I could sink my teeth into the justness of the just war. And actually, there's a lot of people, I think Pope Francis even has said there's no such thing as a just war, which is a really radical change in Catholic teaching. If there are wicked people and doing terrible things, then there certainly can be a just war. So let's leave that as it may. So anyways, it's time for our next break here. I want to relate something to a beautiful passage I used from Venerable Maria de Agreda from the, I think she's the 17th century, 1600s. And she had some amazing visions that she wrote down. She has a book called The City of God. So I want to share one of those passages and see how it makes me think of the importance of the consecration to Russia in a little different way. And I hope I could share that with you clearly enough. Anyways, I'm Father Tom Coyes. You are listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ, and we are the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland. We are on 88.5 FM WSFI.
Sister Lucia reported that on the night of June 13th, 1929, while she was praying in chapel, that she experienced a vision that the Pope, in union with all the bishops of the world, consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart. And so it will be this Friday, on the Feast of the Annunciation, that the Blessed Mother's wish will be fulfilled. St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish invites you to attend Mass this Friday, March 25th, and join with Pope Francis and the bishops of the world to consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. God bless you for tuning in to The Winds of Change, and I want to welcome any new listeners, too, through the EWTN network. I just discovered that if I leave my radio tuned to 750 AM, I get all sorts of wonderful programming from EWTN all through the day and night, which wasn't the same when we were just simply 750 AM. So it's we're already carrying on an important ministry here, and I want to welcome those who find they want to learn, to understand, to be a part of what's going on in our world, especially as Catholics. Okay, so I've spent most of the time here referring to the consecration of the Blessed of Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I hope it's successful. I hope it works, we might want to say, you know. And that's what I want to talk to you here now. And when you say, oh, I hope this consecration works, there is the skeptic or the people that are going to be less than enthusiastic about it are going to say, there you go again, you believers, with this kind of crazy superstition that you just have to say a couple prayers and things are going to all be better. Or just call on the good Lord from his heavenly throne, and we don't have to do anything. Of course, that's exactly not what our Blessed Mother is thinking, or even said. She wants us to do something very, very concretely. The concrete thing is the five first Saturdays and frequent confession. But in doing that, then you're going to have to reform your life and turn away from ways that are sinful, going against the commandments and especially the teachings on purity. Right? That's the one of the messages of our Blessed Mother was that there's more souls that go to hell because of sins of impurity than anything else, and that's kind of a scary thing. But here's a little snippet from Venerable Marie Agreda from the City of God, the mystical City of God. And I'm reading from a translation from the original Spanish, Father George Blatter, George J. Blatter. And this is a little interesting thing, and it fits very beautifully into our Lenten time, especially as we meditate on the way of the cross, right? I hope you can get to a church and pray the prayer, pray the Stations of the Cross. try to find a place that does the St. Alphonsus Liguori Stations of the Cross. I've been around the block many times, and I've been asked to lead the Station of the Cross many times. And I remember the St. Alphonsus Liguori Stations of the Cross by my wonderful pastor from Riverside way back when, Father John Brown. He taught us those and used them all the time, and stuck in my mind and my heart, and it was very much a part of my vocation, awakening of a vocation in my life. As a matter of fact, I use the example of the confusion that sometimes comes up with when people say, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord? And I've heard a number of leaders, priests, sisters, catechists, archdiocesan officials, policemen, firemen, bakers, and candlestick makers. They've all said, oh, well, I've been a Catholic all my life, and I never heard about having a personal relationship with the Lord. I've always found that reaction odd, because even though we haven't really talked about having a personal relationship with the Lord, I don't mind it at all or anything, and it's a beautiful sentiment, it's a beautiful phrase. I think some of the reticence that Catholics have about that phrase comes because Protestants use it so much when they would ask the question, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord? And some people would say, no, oh, I never thought of that before. Kind of like when, in the New Testament, they asked the eunuch if he ever was baptized. Oh, I never heard of such a thing as baptism of the Holy Spirit. Anyways, in this mystical city of God, there's this little snippet about the power that the Blessed Mother had that we never would have thought of in terms of her insights into what supernaturally is going on when she's following our Lord on the way of the cross. So I just got to read this. I used this at a funeral not long ago, and so many people thought it was beautiful. I have to share it here to do with you. So here's another hidden and astonishing miracle was wrought by the right hand of God through the instrumentality of the Blessed Mary against Lucifer and his infernal spirits. You know, see, that's where this consecration thing comes into mind. It's God is using the Blessed Mother as an instrument against great powers of evil. And oftentimes you and I, let alone Russia or countries or presidents, have to realize that there is great forces for good that are above and beyond us, and there's great forces of evil that are above and beyond us, right? So this experience took place in the following manner. The dragon and his associates, though they could not understand the humility of the Lord, were most attentive to all that happened in the Passion of the Lord. It's an interesting thought, too. The demons couldn't understand the Lord's humility as he was offering his life. What the heck is this guy? Why is he doing it without great protest? You know, we're sending him to the cross, and he's supposed to be cursing God like we do, or other people would. So they didn't understand. That's an interesting insight, isn't it? Now, when Jesus took upon himself the cross, all these enemies felt a new and a mysterious tremor and weakness, which caused in them great consternation and confused distress. Conscious of these unwanted and invincible feelings, the Prince of Darkness feared that in the Passion and death of Christ our Lord, some dire and irreparable destruction of his reign was imminent. That's a beautiful, interesting thought there too. I don't think as Christ was getting ready to die on the cross, we would kind of think that the demons would be like, ah, oh, finally we're going to defeat this guy. It reminds me of, remember the scene in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis? That great.
Wow. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Yeah, that is brain wrinkle. in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, when he's when Aslan, the great lion, is he exchanged his life for Edmund, and the Wicked Witch of the forest, where it's always winter and never Christmas, she's all excited because she's getting ready to slay the lion. And so all her evil little creatures around her are getting excited, like they're going to achieve their goal. And here in this little snippet from Venerable Maria, it's saying that the prince of the demons was feeling that there was a dire and irreparable destruction of their reign. And so they're having a good insight. Wait a minute, maybe we went about this all the wrong way. So going back here to the text, in order not to be overtaken by it in the presence of Christ our God, the dragon resolved to retire and fly with all his followers to the caverns of hell. But when he sought to execute this resolve, he was prevented by the great queen and mistress of all creation. And for the Most High, enlightening her and intimating to her what she was to do, at the same time invested her with his power. The Heavenly Mother, turning toward Lucifer and his squadrons by her imperial command, hindered them from flying, ordered them to await and witness the passion to the end on Mount Calvary. The demons could not resist the command of the mighty queen, for they recognized and felt the divine power operating in her. Subject to her sway, they followed Christ, as so many prisoners dragged along in chains to Calvary, where the eternal wisdom had decreed to triumph over them from the throne of the cross, as we shall see later on. There is nothing which can exemplify the discouragement and dismay which from the moment began to oppress Lucifer and his demons. Accordingly to our way of speaking, they walked along to Calvary like criminals condemned to a terrible death and seized by the dismay and consternation of an inevitable punishment. I just find that so powerful. Number one, to see that Mary had such power over those demons. Number one, I never thought of the idea that the demons would want to flee away from the passion. You think they would just be standing around happy. But it makes sense that there is something they were sensing, that this God that they were trying to destroy is tricking them, bringing them into a... He brought him into a trap, as it were. So, and the fact that it says so clearly that it's not Mary because she's a human being that she's able to have these supernatural powers and supernatural insights. Obviously, everybody else standing around the cross wouldn't be seeing the demons, and especially seeing the demons trying to fly back to the caverns of hell. Nobody else would, but Mary granted this special insight. By God, she's given special powers and given special graces, and she was using them at that. So that's why I think to be appreciative of the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, to appreciate the apparitions of Mary at Fatima, we have to know that it's not just sort of a clever way of making peace in the world. There's a little sense that I think all of us do. I try to put so much faith, I try to put so much confidence in supernatural powers, but I also think, well, we gotta do a lot of work ourselves. It's got to be a lot of natural efforts. Like, and it's sort of like, okay, the United Nations. Let's get all the leaders of the world together and. With all the leaders together, we use our human wisdom, and then we will accomplish what we are all looking for, world peace. But it's kind of like, no, there's powers that are beyond us. And I think the real grace that will start flowing where we have to, and we as individuals, the people of Russia, the people of Ukraine, the people of Europe, they're going to have to start seeing that God can work through the instrumentality and does work through the instrumentality of the Blessed Mother, and then go along with the whole program. As I say, it's not just a superstitious kind of say a few prayers and everything's going to be fine. Domino effect through your spiritual life and your moral life that you come about. And one of the things that I sense in Russia, they're just trying to take over land that they felt belonged to them or that they lost. And there's a sense that and the rediscovery of Christianity. Today, Russia is not the same as the old Soviet Union. There's a lot of references to the fact that Putin is an ex-KGB person, and actually the primate of the Russian Orthodox Church is an ex-KGB person, which is not real good. That's not good to start with. But if God, in his great power and mercy, working through the instrumentality of Blessed Mother, they can be converted. And in a certain sense, going from being an atheist KGB person to a Christian who loves and follows along or tries to follow along the Russian Orthodox Church, that's a big step. It's not the complete step, but it's a big step. And of course, someone like Putin or any president in his shoes would be very skeptical to give up Russian Orthodoxy to, let us say, Roman Catholicism, is because Russian Orthodoxy is to Russia what the Church of England is to the England or the King of England or Queen of England. In other words, it's Christianity. It's a kind of Christianity, and it's not evil in that sense, but it's not the fullness because it is under the control of the political leader of the land. So in order for Putin to grow deeper into Christianity, I do sense that he's had some kind of conversion, that it's not that full, and he's got this wickedness, willingness to just walk in and invade the country that he wants. That certainly he should, if he's trying to re-Christianize or debate to go against some of the de-Christianization that's going on in Ukraine or even in the European Union, and you'd be deaf, dumb, and blind to not see the fact that within Europe there's a de-Christianization going on. So if you want to fight de-Christianization with Christianization, that's a good thing. However, half of Christianity isn't good enough. You need the fullness of the faith, as we say in our Catholic Catechism. As I say, the appreciation of Christianity, a new appreciation of Christianity in modern Russia, is definitely a step forward from the atheistic communism of the Soviet Union. It would be as if England were to collapse into some kind of atheistic communism, which in many quadrants it might be doing that, but to rediscover true Christianity in the Anglican denomination would be a step forward. In the United States of America, we could see something similar going on too. There's a lot of Christianity, and people are holding on to it and saying that it's we need a Christian culture, but unfortunately, it's not the fullness of the faith that we could say Catholicism has. Boy, I went a little long here, too. Nick, I think we got one more break, don't we? I'm going to try to wrap it up here after the break. Our wonderful public service announcements and commercials are very important. So let's take this last break, and then I'll wrap it up here on the Winds of Change. You are listening to listener supporter, the Winds of Change on WNDZ 750 AM and the new We are the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice of Chicagoland on 88.5 WSFI.
Sister Lucia reported that on the night of June 13th, 1929, while she was praying in chapel, that she experienced a vision that the Pope, in union with all the bishops of the world, consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart. And so it will be this Friday, on the Feast of the Annunciation, that the Blessed Mother's wish will be fulfilled. St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish invites you to attend Mass this Friday, March 25th, and join with Pope Francis and the bishops of the world to consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart.
I'm Father Tom Coyes, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
As you are hearing the strains of the Ukrainian national anthem, Ukraine is under attack, fighting for its very existence. We must appeal to our Blessed Mother for her intercession and to St. Michael the Archangel, Captain of the Heavenly Hosts and Patron Saint of Ukraine, in defense of the nation from evil oppression. Beyond prayer, you can help in providing humanitarian assistance by donating to any of the following charitable Catholic organizations. Aid to the Church in Need. Donate at churchinneed.org. Caritas Internationalists. Donate at caritas.org. The Catholic Near East Welfare Association, CNEWA. Donate at cnewa.org. Catholic Relief Services. Donate at crs.org. Ukrainian Catholic University Foundation Emergency Fund, which supports Ukrainian Catholic University's humanitarian aid efforts in Ukraine. Donate at ucufoundation.org. Pray for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine and donate what you can. God bless you.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Our fine little segment here before our hour ends. Let me try to finish this little thought on the relationship between the Russian Orthodox Church and Putin and all the political leaders. There is a kind of parallel between all other religions that are under the authority of a national civil figure. The Anglican Church in England obviously comes to mind, but I could almost say that all others except Catholicism falls prey to that problem. I'm thinking of this because that statement by the primate of Russia, who said you can sort of tell which side you're on by if your town accepts LGBT parades or not. Of course, a lot of people will say, oh, you've got to allow those. I'm a Christian. I love marriage as Christ taught, but I'm firmly behind the LGBT community having their parades. So you might convince yourself that that's a legitimate position, but I'm afraid it falls short. There's some wisdom in what that primate is saying, so we have to pray that our morals, all wars are morally rooted, and we gotta examine this one. We gotta get all the moral principles, our ducks in a row, as it were. Anyways, God bless you for listening. I'm Father Tom Coyes. You've been listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and 88.5 WSFI.
Truth so sit on the fence, can you see? Changed. We marvel and flatter. is strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time.